All right, good morning. Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021. The Bipolar Bear Podcast featuring... I can't even say anything today. Featuring Garrett Michael Conklin. what a morning. Hey, so just to clarify, if you listened to my episode yesterday, I was considering all throughout the podcast putting in an intro and an outro of music with me saying the Bipolar Bear Podcast, or you're listening to the Bipolar Bear Podcast, something like that. And then if you noticed, none of it was there because it sounded ridiculous. I didn't want to kind of overdo it. I think that that was, I don't want to say arrogant, but kind of ridiculous to start these off with music or some kind of intro thing to make it like a real show or something. See where my brain goes. I always overthink everything and start to do just dumb shit like that. So I removed it before I published the episode to Anchor because I just thought it, I mean, it didn't sound dumb really. It was just like 30 seconds of music. Do you really want to hear that? There's other platforms you can listen to the music that I do on, and I don't know why I was trying to promote some other skill or talent that I have on this podcast. This is just supposed to be about me venting and expressing my thoughts and feelings on specific subjects and things like that. So I, anyway, long story short is I removed the music from the whole thing. So there, that's why you didn't hear it. All right, so let's get into it today. I actually went off on a tangent yesterday. Yesterday's episode was supposed to be called Regret and Resentment, but it ended up being What's Gonna Work? Teamwork. Ever hear that from the Backyardigans? I think that's who it was that sang that song. I listened to it a billion times as a kid. You know, what are you going to do? So anyway, what I wanted to talk about was the feelings of resentment. And to some degree, some lesser degree, perhaps, resentment that I've built up over time based on all of the experiences and feelings that I've had toward certain circumstances that I've gone through throughout my life. And how devastating that can actually be, and how I almost feel as if it's impossible to get away from it now and turn it around. You know, resentment is just an awful feeling. It's very powerful, but it's very, very destructive in my opinion as well. But it's a very appropriate term. I mean, even if we look at the absolute definition, bitter indignation at having been treated unfairly. His resentment at being demoted. So it applies to my personal life, my professional life, even the example. I mean, how funny is that? Similar words are bitterness, indignation, irritation, displeasure, dissatisfaction. But yeah, resentment. I have an overwhelming feeling of resentment throughout my life. And it's really, man, I mean, it couldn't be more appropriately described. I just feel bitter and I feel as if I've been treated unfairly. And I don't know if that's real or if that's perceived. And what I mean by that is I don't know if what I'm feeling is a correct reaction to the actual actions that have been taken against me, either professionally or personally. But I have a lot of resentment. Man, I resent a ton of stuff and a ton of people, I should say, not necessarily stuff, but I resent people. You know, here's a good example. I talk about this a lot, but my boss at work, you know, I called him out not that long ago for being, you know, in a positive way. I called him out for being there for me when I shared the fact that I'm bipolar and I'm kind of going through the exploratory phase of what that means and what that feels like. And for several months I was in a real fog and I was having a lot of trouble and things like that. And, you know, I actually gave this guy one of my hockey shirts. I gave him a Wayne Gretzky throwback hockey jersey, brand new, you know, as part of the recognition for, hey man, I appreciate you being there for me and being understanding during this trying time. And then this motherfucker turns around and demotes me. So yeah, that's a great example of resentment. So I totally, and regret. I mean, I absolutely regret the fact that I recognized this person who turned out to be a complete asshole and was absolutely phony and fake and was not in fact there for me. And this is again why I feel like I'm such a poor judge of character, because I mean, how did I not see that? How was I so fooled by someone that I thought was legit and genuine, and they were not in any way either of those things? I feel like a fool, quite honestly, for having fallen for that and kind of gone down that road, believing that somebody was, that had my back and they were on my side and they were an advocate for me, and all the while they were trying to get rid of me. Man, I really despise people like that. And for me, resentment brings up feelings of anger and violence and things like that. It makes me really want to catch this guy outside. How about that? And, you know, unload all of my anger. And I think that's one of the driving factors behind trying to find a different opportunity as well, is my ability to finally be like, you know, able to speak my mind and tell these people what I really think of them without worrying about the repercussions of not having a position to go to. But at the same time, I'm, you know, I'm very comfortable being a remote worker, and I only had a couple opportunities on the table to remain a remote worker. One of them is the job that I currently have. So it's not like I have, you know, a plethora of opportunities that will allow me to stay remote. I'm not too keen on driving into the office and spending 8 or 9 hours or whatever a day, Monday through Friday, in some office for no good reason other than being in an office. It's not that I don't want to be in an office. I have no problem with a hybrid approach, but I do have a problem with the fact that you're present in an office simply for the sake of being present in the office. I think that's asinine. And I think it's very short-sighted. And I think that it's not in any way taking a good look around at what's going on in the world today. And there's just no need for that in technology, especially. There's nothing that allows me to do my job anymore if I'm physically in a room by myself or with other people than if I'm in my own room remote, chatting away or being on video calls or conference calls or whatever. And I know that's probably harder for some people to grasp and understand and even agree with, but I've been doing it for so long and having been successful for so long, arguably, I guess. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to force people back into the office, especially when we're not sure what's really going on still. You know, the vaccines are working, they're not working, there's a new Delta variant, you know, people are still getting sick. Even if you're vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. I mean, there's mandates coming back potentially for multiple counties out here where I live. You know, this is not in any way under control at this point still, at least not what's being publicly disclosed as information and public service announcements to everyone. This is still way up in the air, in my opinion. We have no idea what's going on. So, you know, why would you want to be around people that are, you know, especially people that are traveling? You know, if you're going all over the country for this, that, and the other thing, I mean, you're exposed to such a greater opportunity to become sick and come back with that I just don't follow that. I kind of had an issue with that with the current CEO of the company I work for. The guy kept going to Florida. It's like, gosh, you know, what are you doing? I mean, I understand that you want to get on with your life and you want to do things. I said, but in my mind, I'm thinking, how irresponsible can you possibly be that you would keep doing things like that and then showing up at the office, putting everyone there at risk? And, you know, there's a definite tone that if you worked in the office where this guy worked, that you were expected to continue to work in the office. Very few people didn't work in the office, and it was, you know, it's just an arrogant, just utter arrogance. That's all it is. There was no value. There was no reason to do it. It was just arrogance. So yeah, I have a lot of resentment. I don't know if you feel that kind of a feeling, but to me, it's a very negative emotion, and I need to figure out, and I'm trying to understand how I can kind of move past these things with certain people that are, you know, a functional part of my life that I have to deal with, that every time I speak to them, I just want to reach out and snap their neck. It's just so aggravating to have to listen to somebody pander to me that I know is totally full of shit and does not care about me at all. And this extends again, let's move on from work, because I spend so much time complaining about the relationships and the poor quality there. But let me take it home, literally. And, you know, I would have to say that the person I resent most in my life is my wife, or have the most resentment toward is my wife, because the woman simply does not support, care, love, have any concern in any way, shape, or form for me as a human being. And it's not just me feeling hurt. It's not just me complaining, whining, being needy. It's that she has proven to me that there is no concern at all by the things that she's done and said. And, you know, it really begs the question of, I don't have any idea why I'm still here dealing with this. It doesn't make any sense, really. I mean, it didn't make sense all the way back in 2014 was when I really, for the first time, came to the full realization that my wife does not love me, does not care about me, does not give a shit if I'm alive or dead. I am literally a paycheck. That's all that I am to this woman. She does absolutely zero for me. And I could argue that I don't do anything for her outside of the ordinary, right? But she doesn't even do the ordinary. There's not a single thing that my wife does for me. And I think in a relationship, there's supposed to be some kind of give and take and some kind of shared, you know, responsibility for things. And she's just not that kind of a person. She, you know, doesn't love me. I mean, it's just that simple. You would never treat someone that you love the way that I'm treated, ever. And I don't care who wants to argue this with me, who wants to prove her side to me. You're absolutely never going to prove it to me, because it's just not right. You don't tell someone that's just come home with, you know, having two open heart surgeries that they're a baby and they need to get up and do their own thing. And I'm not going to wait on you, and I'm not going to help you with anything. No sympathy, no empathy, no love, no concern, no nothing. And that's really for me when it really died, you know, like 7 years ago. So that's been at this point. And it's just, I've never gotten over it, you know, and I'm a lot like my mother in that way. And my mother is a very, very bitter woman. My father has done her wrong quite a few times, and she just can't get past it. So it's funny how I judge her to such an extreme, but at the same time, I do the same thing in a lot of ways. And I'm the fool that's still here taking care of my wife and spending time with a person who doesn't love me, who doesn't give a shit if I'm here or not. And it's, you know, it's literally made apparent every day in some way, shape, or form. Some comment, some rotten, snide comment is made just at the right opportunity. I mean, my wife has such a skill at interjecting the things that she knows are going to hurt my feelings at the most vulnerable point that they could be injected and leveraged. She's a master at that. And I'm so sick and tired of being around people that don't care about anything that has to do with me. You know, I'm a human being too. Is it wrong for me to want people to care about me and give a shit about me? I don't think so. I mean, 99% of the things that I do, I'm doing for people because I love them and I care about them and I want to do the things that they want me to do for them. I don't really feel like staying up till midnight to go pick people up from their friend's house. I don't always want to give everybody rides everywhere and help them with, you know, doing all these things that I end up having to be the only one to do, because my wife can just step away from these things and literally not give a shit that she's not doing them. If that doesn't represent resentment, I mean, I really, I think I'm struggling a huge amount with that particular feeling or emotion or whatever that is. I'm really having a lot of trouble with understanding what it is that I've done to be treated so poorly by the people that I provide everything for. And I think that's where I get hung up. It's that, you know, I don't know that there's any concern or care or desire to know or understand anything with regard to the struggle that is my life every single day. You know, as I've said before, I have to provide everything for this family. My wife provides nothing. She works for the for her own enjoyment and to pay her own bills. She does not pay a single bill in this house that matters in any way, shape, or form. Not the mortgage, not the car payments, not the car insurance, not the cell phone bills, not any of the utilities, not any of the water, not any of the nothing. Just zero. It's all me. Not the health insurance. Did I say health insurance? Not the, you know, none of the things that are required that I was complaining about the other day, that it's like all these requirements that I have, you know, you can't get away from it. So it's like, I can't abandon these jobs because we need what these jobs provide. Even if I'm not happy, I have to still do it because we have to have these things. And I'm so sick and tired of, you know, we live in this society where supposedly there's women's rights and there's this feminist movement and women are equivalent to men. And I agree with that 100%. But why is it that the women can still get away with being complete shitbags and do absolutely nothing to contribute to anything in life? And that's perfectly fine. And yet they still somehow feel that they deserve and demand feminist, you know, an equal treatment. You're not equal. And I know that's going to irritate the shit out of some people, but a very small fraction of my listenership is women. So it is what it is. And if you don't like me, bounce, man. I really don't care. I'm not here for people to like me. I'm here to understand what's going on in my head and why I feel the way I do about these things. But if someone is able to do and feel empowered to do everything and anything that they can, yet they do nothing but still retain that same concept of, well, I'm equal to you. You're not. As a human being, of course you are. I don't mean it in that regard. I mean it in your contributions to the cause, right? Let's say you're working with someone and you're doing 90% of the work and the other person is doing 10% of the work, right? You could argue that a team would share no matter who contributes what, but that's not true. That's absolute bullshit. You know damn well that the person that did 90% of that should get 90% of the credit, not shared across slugs that are doing nothing or very little, or at least not equivalent. You know, there's probably a variance that you could put in there of like 10% one way or another. So if I'm doing 90 and somebody else is doing 80, then, you know, okay, we're close enough that that's fair. But if I'm doing 90 and you're doing 2% or 3% or even 20%, you're not pulling your weight and you should not get the same recognition and reward for having done a significantly amount less than I have done or someone else has done. Why would that be the case? You don't reward people for failure and for not doing their job. Why would you reward someone for that? Why would someone feel entitled to be rewarded for when they've never done anything? I'm so sick and tired of listening to people tell me that, well, I have to do this and it's my job to do that, and they just sit around and do nothing. Well, what do I get out of that? I got to tell you, I've reached a point in my life where the self-satisfaction of being able to accomplish and achieve those things is long gone. I am no longer sitting here going, yeah, this is great that I'm able to achieve these things and I'm able to do. At this point, I'm like, hey, man, I'm tired. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. Could somebody step the fuck up and help me out? That's how I feel. I mean, I don't get, like I said before, I don't get help in anything. Whether it's in the financial component, in the management of the children, and you know, how we help to raise our children and educate them and things like that. Nothing by way of any of my true passions, whether it's music or podcasting or, you know, whatever I'm doing, everything I do is a joke. I mean, even my actual career to my wife is a joke. So either she's jealous of the fact that, you know, she has a degree and I don't, and I make 5 to 6 times the amount of money that she does, or she has resentment toward the fact that she's had to spend, you know, 15 years of her life raising our children, which, you know, I completely don't understand that at all. The best 3 years of my life were when I was out on workers' comp because of a neck injury that I have mentioned in the past. And I got to spend that entire 2.5 years with our 3-year-old son every single day, just hanging out, playing, and studying to become a computer engineer. I took full advantage of that. I didn't just sit back and go, okay, well, I'm going to do nothing now. I was like, this is amazing. I'm home every day with my kid. I can play with him. We can go out and ride bikes. We can play in the snow. We can go. It was amazing every single day. Yet my wife had that for 15 years and she bitches about it like it was a bad thing. Like, what were you going to do with your life? You were going to be a nurse? That's your calling? And that was more important than spending time and being with your family? The people you've helped create? What, are you fucking kidding me? Holy crap. I mean, it to me, it's just like, you have the greatest life ever. You have the most opportunity. She doesn't even work full time now. She works like 30 hours and every day comes home bitching about work. And I say, I'm like, what? Why are you doing it then? What are you doing? You have the luxury of not having to work at all. If you don't like what you're doing, why are you spending your time with people that all you want to do is come home and talk shit about? And say how poorly they act and they don't show up to work and they're this and they're that and they're pieces of shit and the doctors are there. It's like, why are you doing it then? I mean, my answer to that is I'm doing that because we need all the money that I make and all the benefits that I get. Otherwise, I would quit. Just like that. I don't want to be around people that don't want me around. Why would I want to do that? I would much prefer to spend my life doing the things that I enjoy doing if I had the opportunity and the option to do that. I wouldn't be stuck in some shit job that I don't like. For what? What are you proving? Wow, you can stay? Good for you. You're a fucking idiot. Why would you stay? That's so dumb. You have literally any opportunity that you want to pursue is open to you because of what I provide to you. And yet you still treat me like shit and make me feel like as if everything that I'm doing is wrong. It's absolutely horrendous. And that's where, you know, 15, 20 years of resentment has come from, in the fact that there's no appreciation, there's no thanks, there's no even just good treatment. Now, look, I'm not saying I expect my wife to cook me dinner every day and to, you know, wash my clothes. And I mean, you know, granted, she never does any of that either, but I'm not saying it that way in a demeaning manner. I don't mean it that way. I mean, you have the opportunity to do anything you want. And in my mind, and this is where the disconnect is, in my mind, that is a godsend. For me to have to just be able to sit around and do this and do music and do voiceovers and do the things that I love to do every day, and that's all I have to do, and, you know, take care of the house and, you know, obviously interact with the family and do all that kind of stuff too. But, you know, if that's all I had to do, my life would be the greatest thing ever. That's what I'm trying to achieve now anyway. You know, and every day I have to come to terms with the fact that that's not going to happen, as I watch my music career just kind of continue to flail. And basically at this point, it's dwindling. So I guess I already had my spike there. My 15 minutes of fame or have come and gone, unfortunately. You know, unless some weird thing happens where all of a sudden people decide they like the songs that I've been putting out for the last 2 years that no one listens to. You know, I can't imagine that anyone's going to find that stuff and just all of a sudden all this is going to happen. So whatever it is that I'm doing has reached its peak and it's not going to really go anywhere else. It's just, it is what it is, man. I guess what I'm saying most aptly is that if I didn't have to worry about the financial compensation component and the benefits aspect of this, this is all I would be doing. And I very seriously considered just not doing anything and being completely destitute and poor. Now that I have everything that I have, right? I have all the money that I, all the equipment that I need. What do I really need? Right? I don't need a new car. If they come take the car. What do I care? If I'm not doing anything, what do I need all that stuff for? Right? I don't need any of that stuff. I have it because I can afford it, but I don't need any of it. I very seriously considered just doing nothing, because I want to do the things that I want to do, because I believe wholeheartedly that the time that you spend in your life doing the things that you love doing is far more valuable than the time you spend doing the things you have to do to make money. I refuse to believe that my purpose in life is to work some stupid tech job where I make a good wage, but that's the purpose. That's why I'm here on this planet. If you think about things at a higher level, there's just no way that that's accurate for anyone. None of us are here just to make money. I hope that you have found reward in your career choice where it's something that you love to do. But that feeling for me has since passed. I don't love what I do. I enjoy what I do. It's okay, but it's not worth 8 hours to 10 hours of my time each and every day. It's just not. I can't deny that. It's not something I want to do. I get more pleasure out of this 45 minutes that I'm sitting here shooting my mouth off than I do out of 6 to 8 hours at work. Now, that said, I do enjoy solving problems, so that part of it's fun, but all the political crap and all the dealing with people that are just complete fucking idiots and they're stupid, and I don't mean that derogatorily, I mean they're ignorant people. They're dumb. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And they're telling me that I'm wrong and what I'm doing is wrong and that I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to deal with that crap. These people they're frigging clowns, man. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And they're going to sit there and tell me that I'm wrong. They have no idea how to do anything that I know how to do. But somehow they can judge and tell me that I'm incorrect. I really cannot stand people like that. I would respect you so much more if you would just say, hey, you know, we know what you bring to the table. This is what we're trying to do. So it's not in alignment with what you're saying. That would be a much more intelligent way to express yourself rather than just basically get rid of me. But, you know, this is what the world is. We're surrounded by idiots. At least I feel that way. And it's expressed and shared and shown to me each and every day. Whether it's somebody that doesn't know how to drive that has a license and they cut you off and they're just a terrible driver. Just stupid people everywhere. You know, sorry if that's offensive, but I mean, snap out of it, man. You know, not everything is just this cakewalk where you can just glide in through and everything's going to work out just fine. No, man, your decisions affect other people and the choices that you make can significantly impact other people. So maybe you ought to pull your head out of your ass once in a while and think about what the hell you're doing and stop thinking about just yourself and, you know, consider what's going on around you in the greater scheme of things. And I think that's where we get into trouble with politics is that these people are seeing a different big picture than what we think the big picture is. The big picture is not to actually help any of us. The big picture is to continue to rape us for all the money they can get out of us. Because remember, they get paid through all of our tax money. So, of course, they want to spend trillions and trillions of dollars, because once that's the new normal, next time they go around for the budget, trillions of trillions of dollars will be normal, right? It's just like those old sales accounts where you had an expense account, and if you didn't use it, you'd lose it. So you just would squander money foolishly on things because you didn't want the next year to come around and go, hey, man, Garrett didn't spend his whole allocation of expense budget. So I guess he doesn't need that for next year. But that's just such a flawed approach. Instead of being seen as, hey, the guy didn't use it all, that's a positive. It's seen as a negative. And he's penalized for that the next year when they're planning for budgeting. I guess I don't understand how that works. But to me, that is absolute insanity. And that makes no sense at all. That's just dumb. You know, I used to work in a lot of capacities, and you could say that I do still today on the back end. So a lot of what I'm doing is optimization and efficiency planning and strategies, right? So I'm not here making something that's making you money directly. Like you're not selling what I'm doing. You're selling my ability to save people money or to save the company money. That's what I bring to the table. And that's what all back end engineering or back end positions do. So if you're efficient and effective at your job, then the cost center aspect of my department becomes less. Therefore, you can yield greater margin on your profit side simply because it costs you less money to perform the same actions that you're charging the same money for. So if you charge $10 for something, let's just make a simple example, and it costs you $8 to do whatever it is needed to fulfill that $10 sale, you've made $2, right? There's your margin. But if I can figure out ways to do it for $6, right? And this is, you know, why Apple's stuff is farmed out to foreign countries to be built, is that they are saving money on the back end, on the creation component, on the workforce cost is significantly less to do it outside of the United States. But the point being is if I can take something that used to cost $8 per unit to make and turn it into something that costs $6 per unit to make, and you leave the price, even if you leave it the same, you're still realizing a greater margin potential because it now costs less money to make the product. And those are the compromises that are made every single day by companies. And in many cases, they're compromising our health as human beings, and they're not considering what they're doing in the long run. And that's why we see the food and things like that in this country being so horrible, because it's cheaper to put chemicals in than real food. That's, you know, like meaning natural food. It's cheaper to put high fructose corn syrup in than natural sugar. You know, and there's, it's just awful that the decisions that are made for the reasons that they're made, you know, it's all about money. No one cares about people anymore. And you wonder why our society is a complete fucking disaster right now. It's because this is happening on a global level. People don't give a shit about people. It's all phony. You know, all the things you see on TV, all the things people are standing up for, everybody's getting behind this, that, or the other thing, they're all complete farce. Farces. They're just not real. They don't mean anything. They're just distractions for people so that you don't see what's really going on. Because the people making all the decisions and making all the money want to continue to make all the decisions and make all the money. So how can they possibly allow you to know what's really taking place and tell you the truth? They're just not going to. They're going to continue to lie for as long as they can get away with it. And it would appear that that would be indefinitely. Because even in the day and in the age of information that we have today, where everything would seemingly be available and you would know everything that's going on, we're even more confused and in the dark than we've ever been before. And, you know, it almost reminds me of like when people, I was watching a movie the other day, this trilogy that was on Netflix. I forget what it's called, but it's about like this haunted thing. Anyway, it was a fun little 3-movie series. But it was all about witchcraft and like how they would just instantly accuse somebody. Oh, you did this, you're a witch. And then they would burn them alive. You know, just, and this was real stuff. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, what is wrong with people? Are that many people just that ignorant that they would, it's so difficult for me. I know I've gotten way off topic here from resentment, but it's so difficult for me to comprehend how somebody could be so irrational as to think that, okay, let's come to the conclusion that, okay, you're a witch. Now we're just going to kill you. Really? That's the leap we take, that we go from you did something, you said you incanted something, you know, all of which is total bullshit. None of it is real. And you're going to now take someone's life in a torturous and horrible way. If you've ever been burned, that is no way to die. That is extremely painful. And you don't die right away. It is a really bad thing to burn alive. That's no fun. I can't imagine hanging is much better, having a broken neck and just, you know, being paralyzed from the neck down and choking to death. That sounds like a great way to go. All because what? You did something that people, some idiot decided was the wrong thing? That wasn't hurting anybody. What were they doing? It was crazy to watch this. I'm like, wow, this is some savage shit, man. What are people thinking? But I guess, you know, since the beginning of time, we've been surrounded by more morons than we have intellectuals. And that's a real disappointment. And now it's even permeated into the universities where people are being taught by these morons. So our kids are going to school and they're being taught by people all this terrible and wrong stuff. And they don't think for themselves anymore. They just go along with whatever the establishment has taught them. And now they come out on the other side and we keep creating this buffoon that just thinks things that are completely ridiculous. Look, man, I'm open for all kinds of debate. I don't think I'm right about everything ever. I'm happy to discuss it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I've learned something. That's great. But where did that kind of approach to things go? You know, and I would argue that back to the whole thing talking about my wife, it's like, you know, where is it, even at work, where is it that when something went wrong, you just don't want to talk about it? You want to sweep it under the rug and pretend like it didn't happen. How about, hey, man, we made a bad decision. We thought you were going to be this amazing leader, and it's not working out. So we need to do something about it. Why wasn't that the conversation that was had? Because these people are a bunch of spineless morons. They don't have the intellectual capacity to have a discussion like that because they're just too weak. And we're surrounded by so many weak people that can't just speak their mind. It's okay to tell someone they've failed. It's okay to tell someone they need to improve and they're not doing their job or they're not meeting the expectation. It's that, you know, it's okay to say that stuff. And in fact, it's encouraged that you do that, because otherwise you create these extraordinarily toxic environments. And what we're seeing now, as I shift back into talking about my work, everybody's leaving, because who wants to be a part of that? Anyone that's, you know, awakened to the fact that this is what's going on here is leaving. It's only the people that want to stay under the radar. And it's interesting, because the whole premise of this whole thing that started 18 months ago is that, well, we're trying to shine the light on those people that aren't really pulling their weight. And all we're doing is creating an environment where those are the only people that are going to stay. Because ultimately, it's the leadership of this company that's failing. And they don't see that. They think that they're on their high horse and they're all great and powerful and everything we're doing is wonderful. And it's just an absolute embarrassment. I was on a call the other day and we were talking to I don't even know what they are. They're kind of like a partner, a channel partner, something like that, where they help with kind of aligning the business to strategy. And nearly every question that was asked had to be answered, well, we're not doing that. Well, we're not doing this. Well, we're not quite that. Well, it's in its infancy. Well, we're not doing that. Well, we don't really, no, that's not really our thing. It's like there was no strength in any answer that was given. It was all bullshit, because we're not actually doing anything. But rather than take that to heart and be like, okay, look, let's have a discussion amongst leaders about what is going on here. These people are far too delusional in thinking that, well, we're this great entity and we have all of this figured out. We know what we're doing. Everything's wonderful. We're going to move forward and it's great. Where all of your troops that you've rallied behind you are like, these people are fucking ridiculous. Everything they're saying is bullshit. It's not real. I'm done. I'm leaving. And everybody's leaving. So it's like when you see that section of the movie where, you know, the guy's trying, the commander's trying to rally the troops and like they all turn around and run away. And he's standing there by himself to face the enemy. It's like, yeah, well, you're not much of a leader then, are you? I mean, to the point where they're trying to get rid of people, and they did effectively get rid of people like me that are legitimately saying, hey, these are the real problems. We need to address this shit. What are we doing? They just don't want to do the work, you know? And I guess I would argue that my wife doesn't want to do the work, because none of this is easy to fix. You know, it's arguably more difficult, humbling, humiliating to some degree. You know, nobody likes to admit they're failing. It's a difficult thing to do, even for strong people. I don't like to say, oh yeah, I failed. I mean, I say it because it's reality. And I choose to learn from it rather than, you know, and that's kind of the conundrum, word of the day, had to get that in there somewhere, right? That's kind of the conundrum I'm faced with now, is that, you know, I have a discussion on Thursday with some people. And if I go off to another place to do the same thing I was doing here, you know, I'm wondering if that's the right decision. You know, as much as I don't want to continue doing what I'm doing for a number of reasons, you know, most of which being resentment and just overall feelings of malaise and negativity and just, you know, angst and all that kind of fun stuff. But moreover, because I've been hurt, you know, it's like, hey, you don't want me around. You don't want me around. It's difficult to be in a circumstance when people don't want you around, and it's obvious, you know. So on that note, but at the same time, I'm wondering if going to another place that does a similar thing is, you know, have I learned from this experience? Maybe this isn't the right thing for me. You know, I mean, maybe going to another place to try the same thing is ignorant as well, because, well, I wasn't successful here. What makes me think that the people that I would be doing this for somewhere else, I would somehow miraculously be able to pull this off? I just don't think they're ready to do, you know, these companies in the local area are ready to make these kinds of changes yet, because they just, their leadership is still from way back when, and they're very stuck in their own ways, and they're not able to accept change the way they openly say they're accepting change. Oh yeah, we do this. We're an AWS shop. Really? You have one person that does it. And you could now argue that when this other person leaves, you'll have me, who is very skilled in that technology, but has no idea how anything inside of this company works whatsoever. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, there's, whether there was a plan or not, there was no plan, and there was no transition of any knowledge from one person to another. The documentation is minimal at best. It requires an enormous amount of tribal knowledge. You need to know that, oh, well, when somebody asks for this, it actually means this. I don't know any of those things. Someone they hire in new isn't going to know those things. So they're really in a very tight spot here with this, because it has nothing to do, and I'm sure that it'll be blamed on me, but it has nothing to do with me. The fact that I don't know this stuff has nothing to do with me. Why would I know what's been going on here for 10 years? I've been here for 18 months. That's a completely unrealistic expectation to hold for someone. Same would be true if you hire some expert in AWS that's got every cert there is and has been doing it for 30 years or whatever, 20 years, and they're, you know, a super duper expert. I can barely log into things here because stuff is broken. There's such disparities across the technologies that are used. It's just things have been done wrong for so long that it's a big mess. I can't even, you know, as I'm starting to really see what's going on here, I can't even believe it, how bad it is. It's just, we're on like 7 different versions of Linux. Why would you do that? No one had the foresight to go, well, let's stick with a version, and every time we decide we want to upgrade or change, we need to change everything, not just the new thing. Okay, let's have, you know, CentOS 6, CentOS 7, and we'll have Ubuntu 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, you know, every version that there is, there's a different, and they're all different. I don't know if you guys know anything about computer systems, but it's kind of like if we use Windows 7 and Windows 10, there's some subtle differences to how that stuff works. And the differences in Linux mean that, you know, software is configured and set up differently. So it's not this simple thing to go and fix. It's not like I can just turn the computer off and then change it to a different software version with an update and then everything's going to work again. That's very often not the case. So this is a much bigger mess than you would imagine. And, you know, none of these people around me are technical from the leadership side, so they have no idea what I'm talking about. So it's almost not even worth my breath to express this and say this to them, because what are they going to do? They're just going to not give a shit. And it's one more problem they don't want to deal with. They don't know how to solve it. So they're just going to get annoyed with me for even bringing it up. But I already brought to some degree up, you know, when I told you I was asked how, you know, well, hey, how's the transition going? I'm like, man, this is a real mess. Well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, then I went on to explain. I'm like, you know, I don't even have access to half the stuff we have here. I don't even know how you access it. Some things need jump hosts, some things don't. Some things you got to be on a certain domain, some things are on a different domain. You know, I mean, and that's not that that's abnormal or anything, but if you don't have that documented somewhere, how the hell would you know that? So I'm trying to log into machines that are on some other domain that I'm not even aware of, that I don't have access to. And this guy is leaving, his last day is tomorrow. So how many things like that exist right now that I just have no idea what they are, and I won't encounter them until a ticket comes in from a client saying, hey, we need this. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I can't access it. How do you log into it? You know, what is it doing? No idea. So this is going to be just an utter shit show, because there's just no other way around it. And it's not like, you know, I'm managing a single stack and I've been a part of it. You know, I've been in a leadership capacity trying to build teams and hire people and strategize about company direction and all. I've not been digging into, you know, what a specific client is doing in a specific technology. So I don't know any of that stuff. I know the underlying technology and how to do it, but I don't know how we're doing it and how it was done here at all. And for each customer, it would appear that these things are done differently. You know, it's so ridiculous that people will say, oh, just email Pat. And I'm like, who in the hell is Pat? I don't know who any of these people are. They don't work here. They're clients. And oh no, they're not really clients. They're the developers for the client. It's like, holy cow, man. I wouldn't even know who to reach out to for an issue or for a question if I have one. That's how bad it is. And yet I'm the one that was called out for doing everything wrong. I guess, you know, okay. I don't see it that way. I really don't. But, you know, getting back to my feeling of resentment, because now I'm smiling and giggling. It's not out of joy. It's out of just lunacy. It's such a screwed up environment that, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, folks, but I guess I'll have at least an opportunity to understand what my options are. I don't know, on Thursday. We'll see. I don't know. I'm talking to a group of people, so I would assume this is more of a, this is what it's going to be. I don't know if, you know, this was a very informal process so far, so that makes me a little concerned, but I'm not entirely sure, you know, what they're looking for. So we'll see what happens on Thursday. I'll keep you updated on that. But now, at the 46th minute of this podcast today, we're going to move on to an award-winning poem from Garrett Michael Conklin, from the 2016 release of Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy. I'm such an idiot. Anyway, this one's called Award-Winning Prize. It's funny how much I think I get it, but I don't. I'm not sure that's funny, but I'm certain you won't. Though try as I may to refund actions of days, I cannot take back what is not in your ways. It leaves me feeling empty and without any answer, something like disease, especially like cancer. It leaves you a shell of whom you once used to be. Nothing remains the same, not you, not them, not me. So if I came home to be a part of your lives, it may be like someone stabbing you with dull, rusty knives. Rather than my intent of being a prize, I come off like a loss and remove my outward disguise. It's nothing like you thought from the edge of your mind. It's everything that's wrought from the start of being blind. Sight is overrated, but experience is even more. Leave it in your imagination or throw it on the floor. Kicking and screaming without any control, having a fit while you flail, thrash, and roll. I know it's odd for me to be all these things, but not unlike hatred, a song which everyone sings. We all know what's wrong, but all sing along, knowing full well that something is unquestionably wrong. I can't quite explain what I mean in this song, nor can I stop holding pain for as far as long. I come back to life, gasping in surprise, not really able to describe or summarize. I've learned almost nothing from all of your cries, expecting that I'll be handed an award-winning prize. I don't know, that was kind of a long one. What do you think that meant? I guess take that one in. I don't know. That was a, I guess I'm the award-winning prize, or I expect an award-winning prize. I guess that kind of makes sense to what I was talking about earlier, in that I expect things to happen that just don't, you know? I mean, and I hold a lot of resentment toward those things that don't happen, because I believe that I've done what is necessary to achieve that level of success, and I just have not achieved it, and probably won't in my lifetime. So anyway, with that, I hope you have a good Tuesday. Hopefully your week's been going well so far. Thanks as always for listening. If you could rate me on Apple Podcasts, that'd be awesome. I'll keep asking that to see if that actually does anything. That would be cool. And if you want to support me in anything that I'm doing here or any of the other cool stuff I'm doing, check the link in the episode or in my main bio. There's hyperlinks in there to take you to all the other cool stuff that I work on. Thanks very much. Talk to you soon.